I'm John Batchelor. Good evening. John Avalon of Newsweek and CNN joins me this evening to talk about Mitt Romney. Good evening, Mr. Avalon.
Good evening.
Mitt Romney, the former governor of Massachusetts, a 2008 candidate for the Republican nomination, defeated by John McCain in Florida, has announced an exploratory committee. And I'm also joined by Tegan Goddard, who runs the Political Wire. Good evening, Mr. Goddard.
Good evening, John.
No surprises. Mitt Romney's in the lead. He announces his exploratory committee. And we're joined by David Drucker of Roll Call, reporting on this event in Washington today. David, thank you for joining us. Mr. Romney makes an announcement at the beginning of April. Why now, David? What advantage does he have? He is in the lead in all the polls already.
Well, the advantage, John, good evening, is that it's the beginning of a fundraising quarter. So we've got April, May, and June, and Romney wants to end the quarter with a very big number. So it's the reason why, among others, he didn't announce maybe in the middle of the last quarter, because then you close the reporting period with a smaller number. And it's why he didn't wait too long into April, because you lose time. And what you can do with an exploratory committee is raise money to run for president as though you were officially running. So you do it now, and the goal is to end June with several million dollars, make everybody else look small, make yourself look formidable, and you get a nice big, you know, press play out of it. And that's what these guys want at this stage of the game.
So that's the opening stage of Romney 3.0. Here's my question to you. Last election, we had a very unusual thing in American history. Two United States senators squaring off for the presidency. Now there are no prominent senators running for the GOP nomination. Where are the senators lining up? Are there any early indications of support? Is Romney's status as the presumptive frontrunner helping him line up support among the senators?
No, I wouldn't say so. I mean, I know that Team Romney is working very hard on the Hill to line up support, as he did last time. But most Republican members in the House and the Senate, for that matter, are in a wait-and-see mode. They want to see how this field develops, how things look. I mean, Orrin Hatch, a Utah senator, is backing Romney, as he did last time. And a few of the senators are lining up here and there behind people, but it's more predictable. You know, Dan Coats from Indiana waiting for Mitch Daniels, the governor of Indiana, to run, and so on, and sort of things like that. These days, being a front runner in Washington doesn't really do you much good anyway. What you want from these endorsements is access to their political Rolodex, their donors, and their, you know, political infrastructure on the ground in a particular state, if one exists. And so that's what you want in any event. But most members on Capitol Hill are in a wait-and-see mode and trying to see where this thing goes.
David, five years ago, tomorrow will be the fifth anniversary of Mitt Romney signing the health care bill that became the template, according to the Obama administration, for federal health reform. Is there any significance in his announcing this on that anniversary?
You know, I think it was sort of a coincidence.
Really? He's not trying to kill the story tomorrow morning?
Well,
that's what,
what I think is that they weren't going to wait too much longer, because it's already April 11th. And the longer he waits, the less time he has in the quarter, the fundraising quarter, to raise money. And so they probably had planned this out without realizing Democrats were going to, you know, send him a lot of congratulations today, thanking him for Romney Care.
Well, David, I give him a lot of credit if he were doing that in order to kill the story tomorrow about the fifth anniversary of Romney Care. But I'm not going to give him a lot of credit for the slogan that he's chosen for his campaign, which is Believe in America, which is a recycled slogan from John Kerry in 2004, another Massachusetts politician, albeit a failed presidential candidate.
Do you think he got it off of Craigslist or eBay or something? You get it cheap?
I think that anything's possible. You know, in presidential politics, you know, there's nothing new under the sun. I'm sure they'll refine the message as they go along. But I think what's key for Romney, the one good thing he did is he's playing off of his strength, which is that he's run a company and made money for people, and been involved in creating jobs one way or the other. And so far, he's dropped all of that conservative, I'm perfect conservative nonsense that wasn't a winner for him in 08 and won't help him now. But you're right, he's going to need something compelling. But the other thing I would say is that at the end of the day, this is going to be all about President Obama. Either people are going to want to get rid of him, and they're going to turn to the Republican nominee and either find that person credible or not, or they're going to decide to stick with who they have.
Mr. Avalon, I want to ask you, because of a poll that we have, Mason Dixon, right, Tegan? Mason Dixon out of Florida, that had 800 registered voters, that has Mr. Romney in the lead over the president for the 2012 cycle, just because you have emphasized Florida for the president's reelection electoral college map.
Sure. I mean, I think it doesn't take a genius to figure out that Florida and Ohio are going to be the most intensely fought over states in this election cycle, with between them probably enough electoral votes to push it one way or the other. I do think this is a really early poll, small sample set. It's interesting that Romney and Huckabee both outpoll the president. I think it has more of a function to do with, A, their name ID, and B, the president's relative weakness in Florida. He's got an uphill climb. They cannot afford to take Florida for granted at all.
And David, do you find significance in a poll this early? I know that the players in Washington raise money with it, and they talk about it at night, and they hang out in the lobbies with it. But is it too early to judge Florida?
By far. I would say that at this stage of the game, the internals from a poll, the sort of sub-questions, can be helpful to know where you're strong, where you're weak, where you might want to make some course corrections, or where trouble might lie ahead. But voters right now don't really know what they think. They're not thinking about this. It's all name ID.
Yeah.
And I want to see a poll about 8 weeks before somebody's actually going to vote. That's when I want to start looking at polls. And the closer you get to election day, the more those polls tell you. As we've learned last cycle and the cycle before, this early on, people have all sorts of ideas about who the front runner is and who they vote for, and it really means nothing.
So, David, Donald Trump is not running second in New Hampshire right now?
No, Donald Trump is running second in the Hare primary.
David,
I think Donald Trump is a compelling populist, but I think that if he actually runs for president, they're going to sling a lot of arrows at him, and there's plenty to dig up there, and he's going to have problems.
You think? So wait, you said second in the Hare primary. Is that implying that Mitt Romney is first in the Hare primary?
That's exactly. Okay. You read my mind.
I just wanted to be all clear on that. Listen, a serious question based on your beat in the Senate. The president's giving an address to the nation Wednesday night on the deficit and the debt. The Ryan plan has set up the counterpoint, but the Gang of Six continues to negotiate, trying to put forward a plan. What are you hearing about the progress of them actually putting forward to plan, and with how much support?
And what is the Gang of Six, David?
The Gang of Six are three Democratic senators, three Republican senators. They're trying to come up with a consensus plan to deal with the deficit and the debt. It would probably include a mixture of tax increases and spending cuts. And for that reason, it really won't end up anywhere in whatever form they finish in. However, it could sort of influence where the Senate goes. And if this the budget debate goes old school, you could end up with a House Senate Conference Committee, and it could influence the eventual Senate bill. What's interesting is that we're not sure yet that Budget Chairman Ken Conrad, North Dakota Democrat, who I believe is on the Gang of Six,
yes,
is going to come out with his own budget in the Senate Budget Committee. So we're not really sure what the Senate is doing, if they're waiting for the Gang of Six to produce something, if they're waiting to see how the Ryan budget fares. And of course, now Obama, the president, wants a do-over from his State of the Union, and so we're going to find out what he wants to do. We know he's going to call for more tax increases, and once again, on the so-called wealthy, and we'll see what this does to contribute to the debate. But I'd say in the Senate, we're going to have to see where the Gang of Six falls out to then see what kind of legs it has. Republicans are still going to be very resistant to tax increases, even if people like Coburn and the people on the Gang of Six end up embracing them.
Tegan, I read that in 1968, when Mitt Romney's father, George Romney, was in the lead early on for the Republican nomination, the Mormon Church, the Church of Latter-day Saints, was hardly mentioned in the media. In fact, I've checked the headline. You just cannot find it in the discussion. And here again, is it significant that I do not see it in the stories in the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal prominently the way we saw it in 2008? Does that indicate that we're not going to make this will not be an issue in this cycle?
I think that remains to be seen. I mean, it is interesting, and it's an interesting observation. We actually may have a Republican presidential race with two Mormons in it,
yeah,
with John Huntsman running as well. And so it will be interesting to see. And two, from what I understand from folks in Utah, two very different strains of that faith.
Mr. Avalon, do you think that this is an early indication that the Mr. Romney's church affiliation will not be a significant issue to the Republican primary audience?
Not in responsible company or conversation, no. How it plays out in certain states' primaries has yet to be seen. I think a lot of Huckabee's strengths in the polls does have to do with his support from the evangelical community, which there have been some signs in the past that they have concerns about the Mormon faith. But to Tegan's point, the fact that John Huntsman is running as well, I think actually ameliorates it as an issue. I think rather significantly, and that's a good thing. I think that's as it should be.
And Mr. Drucker, do you hear in any way that the Mormon affiliation is an issue for Romney this cycle?
Well, I haven't heard that it's an issue. It still might be an issue in Iowa, however, and it could be one in South Carolina. I don't believe that Romney's religion is a major obstacle to his winning the Republican nomination. And even in the wake of health care reform and the health care law on the federal level, I don't even think his biggest problem is Romney care. I think his biggest problem is he's never been able to connect with people on a gut level. I think people, their brain tells them he'd probably make a good president, and their heart tells them, I don't know, and I don't know if I care. And he needs to get over that hump.
David Drucker of Roll Call, John Avalon of Newsweek and CNN, Tegan Goddard of The Political Wire. In 1968, it was hardly mentioned, the Mormonism of George W. Romney. 43 years later, hardly mentioned, at least in the first days, for the Mormonism of his son, Mitt Romney, for the candidacy of the president. I'm John Batchelor.